Live from the backstretch at historic Saratoga Racecourse, this is Saturdays at the Spa with Brian Nadeau. Saturdays at the Spa is brought to you by CapitalOTBBet.com, New York's premier wagering site. CapitalOTBBet.com. Sign up today. The new Capital Mobile app. Wager anywhere, anytime. Download it free from the iTunes Store or Google Play.
Good morning and welcome to Saturdays at the Spa. Brian Nadeau with you. Our third season here at Saratoga, and it will be like a season unlike any other, tradition like unlike any other for Jim Nantz fans, but a little different this year, obviously, and we've been on for a few days now, but just to, you know, no, not a lot of access, no fans, things like that. So we're going to still be on point with Saturdays at the Spa, but we're going to change it up a little bit. We're going to introduce kind of a wagering segment into this each week, and in a little bit we'll have Peter Thomas Fornatale on of the In the Money Players podcast and a lot of other different things. He's going to be talking about pick five ticket construction. You know, you've probably heard me a lot talk a lot about that. And Pete's as steeped in that kind of stuff as anybody, and I've done a lot of business with Pete in that regard, and he's got a good grasp of it. So we're going to kind of show a few different ways to play tickets, structure tickets, and I think it'll be beneficial to, you know, maybe the people that are just the old caveman ticket, that you know, the 3x4x4x2 tickets. You can get a lot more bang for your buck. So stay tuned for that. Tommy Bellhouse of West Point Thoroughbreds will be on in a little bit, about 10:20, talking about Decorated Invader, who's a really, really nice three-year-old turf horse and a heavy favorite in today's Hall of Fame stakes on the grass. We were going to have Dave O'Rourke at 10:05, and Dave was a late scratch, had an emergency, so no worries there at all. Dave is a very, very busy guy, the president and CEO of NYRA. And he sat in with us last year, and he was just great, and I was just really impressed with how kind of on the pulse he is with everything going on up here. So we'll get him back. Maybe it's even beneficial. I'll bring in my colleague Anthony Mormino, stuck around. We'll bring him in here. We're gonna talk a little Coaching Club American Oaks in a second. Yes. But maybe it's even a blessing in disguise that Dave couldn't make it on the show this morning, because, you know, if we can get him next week, or we'll have later, you know, more. How has it been? Stuff. Yeah, how has it been for the first 2 weeks?
The owners thing angle is going to have played
yes.
out. He's going to have some feedback or
right.
data from that experience, and, you know, probably will work out for the better. That, you know,
yeah.
So it'll be a
no worries
more
there.
Insightful
Dave and the NYRA group in general. I know Seth has, you know, Andy's usually on. Very generous with their time, and as you know,
they've always been very generous with Capital Off-Check Bank.
Yes,
we're on without a doubt,
and just the fact that we're even here right now is thank you to them, because we weren't even, you know, we up till, I don't know, a month or so ago, we weren't even necessarily too sure what was going to happen. So we're just, and essentially, for all intents and purposes, it is just business as usual
yes.
for us.
Which is supposed, you know, is a saying that just rolls off most people's tongues, but you can't imagine what it was like pushing the stone up the hill
yes.
to have it
to
roll
get
off
it
your tongue.
Here. Yes. So many thanks to them. Just the fact that we're able to do this every day, live programming.
And
here.
I will say, I mean, you know, we watch horse racing.
Yes.
And, you know, I make fun, but the dirt looked round, the rail, the new
yeah.
rail is brilliantly white. They put the old Saratoga and the tape on the end. I'll be ecstatically happy. You know, the only time I cringe is when, you know, you get a shot of the stands, and then that moment you realize, you
yes.
know, it's not
different.
What I've grown up with.
Yeah.
You know, I think this is my sixth decade coming here, and
so.
You know, but the racing is fast.
My partner stuck around. to talk a little Coaching Club American Oaks, and we joked a little bit if you caught the handicappers report, and we know we just got off the air talking about it, and so we can kind of continue on that theme. It's not your dad's Coaching Club,
no.
American Oaks today.
Fourth American Classic, did you know that?
Yeah, no.
Classic for Philly.
Well, it used to be a mile and a half at Belmont. I mean, roughly. When I was in the game, it was still a mile and a half. I remember Tweetside won it 1 year. When was that?
That was when it came back to a mile and a half.
2001.
That's when it came back to a mile and a half.
Okay.
It was a mile and a quarter for about 6 years before that.
Okay.
Tweetside, you remember?
Golden Bree beating our gal Serena Song at 1-5.
But when Tweetside won, was it at the race? Star dropped McCarron right out of the gate?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know, but.
Yeah, Golden Bree never had another moment.
John Kimmel. Caesar Kimmel, too, maybe. So point being, so we look at the roster of winners, and I think Bri is going to pull up Songbird in the stretch winning in 2016 if we have video of that, but no worries. We're going to get that in a second, but you look at the list here, and we'll start with Princess of Sylmar, who was, you know, actually she was like 82 lengths away from winning a championship, but prior to the Breeders' Cup Distaff at Santa Anita, she was this close to winning a championship. 2013, Stop Charging Maria won a Breeders' Cup Distaff. Carolina, then we go Songbird, Abel Tasman, Monomoy Girl. We're going to see the whole race of Monomoy Girl whipping up on Midnight Bijou again. And then last year, Golrana wins it, and, you know, she looks all right for Chad, too, now. I don't think, well, for two things. I hope you and I are sitting here discussing this race 1 year from today. I don't think we're going to be saying, wow, boy, did she turn into something. The outside four horses in the six-horse Coaching Club American Oaks, here we go, Bri, thank you, have never run in a stakes race. That's shocking. Here's Songbird.
2016?
2016 on the inside, making her work for it a little bit.
And to me, this was, if it wasn't going to be Karina Mia, this day was never going to be.
I was trying to think of those Three Chimneys silks
chance.
There. Yes.
And
Karina Mia was pretty nice.
Her Acorn was.
Yes.
It turned out to be her race of her career.
I think you probably
she could have repeated at some point, but she never did repeat it.
So that's 2016. We're going to show the entire race of 2018 because I do think it resonates in 2020.
Well, we hope it does.
We hope it does.
How much I want them to meet one more time is almost equal to that I want Monomoy Girl to be back. Because my rule of thumb is they never come back. I certainly wager like they never come back. But from a sporting standpoint, please show up.
She ran a 104 winning the Ruffian.
That's
her fastest race ever.
Get out.
So we're talking Monomoy Girl and Midnight Bijou in 2018. And so Midnight Bijou, and here it is, the full Monty here. Thank you, Brian. So Midnight Bijou is the clear, well, I don't even know if she's clear anymore. She's the divisional leader. You know, she ran second to Maximum Security over in Saudi Arabia, and then she wows everyone winning at Churchill Downs, and they say, well, let's run her in the Whitney maybe against Tom's Day Tot. So before we get too far ahead of ourselves, you know, Midnight Bijou, and listen, this was 2 years ago. A lot has changed since then. She's grown up since then. She's gotten bigger, stronger, faster since then. She was Monomoy Girl's whipping girl. And the only time she beat her was one of the worst DQs you're ever going to see in the Cotillion. So for my money, she's never beaten Monomoy Girl. I don't think we're going to see him here because I believe Monomoy Girl is not coming. Midnight Bijou, maybe Personal Ensign, maybe Whitney against Tom's Day Tot. But here it is here.
Is Monomoy Girl going to the Breeders' Cup off of the run?
Yeah, right. No, where I think she's... it's not here, though. I forget
Monomoy Girl has a running style advantage at this point in her career. And she was, I thought, clearly better than Midnight Bijou at this point in there. And had Midnight Bijou come out of the Mother Goose for this?
That would make sense. Yes, and maybe the Mother Goose was first time Steve Asmussen as well.
But, you know, there were two outstanding three-year-olds, and one held the...
And this is a horse race right here. I mean, this is good stuff.
From here in, from, you know, the top of the stretch, the old rails at Saratoga, brown instead of all white.
I that has not been in my main vision. So
driven.
Yes,
I noticed it right away, and the Michael Dubb silks just really
tough
never
to pass the
gave
pink and yellow
a chance You know, she looked a lot closer at the quarter pole than any other moment. And at that point, I thought she had wrapped up the divisional honors. I did not think it was the worst DQ in the cotillion. I would not have taken her down.
Maybe I was a little harsh.
I would not have taken her down. But I'm also a believer that if I'm thinking about it, it's not a takedown. It's like if I have to think about you being in the Hall of Fame, you don't get my vote. A takedown to me, like I saw it with the first time starter the other day for Klarovich, I saw the move happen, and I'm like, oh, that's not good. If the head-on shows what I think it shows, that's a takedown.
That was a no-brainer must-takedown the other day, correct?
In my opinion. And I since I didn't feel that in the cotillion when Midnight Bizou was put up, since I didn't feel that way, that means I wouldn't have taken her down, and Montemar Girl would have beaten her four times. I forget what the
It's a big number. It might have been. I think it is four because she beat her again at Churchill in the distaff.
Well,
too.
I've always said this, and I want to thank the good people of the Hall of Fame because they did bestow a vote on me. When
I don't think I knew that. Did I know that?
Yes, you did.
Okay.
Because we talked about who I didn't vote for last
year. Okay. And who I didn't vote for either.
Havre de Grace comes up. And now and Blind Luck is been up. I know one of them was Horse of the Year, but if you look at their PPs, it's not close. Who's supposed to go in the Hall of Fame?
She won like two Grade One races. I think
Blind Luck
like
beat her. I think 6 out of 9 times, and the 2 times she lost by this much, giving her like 8 pounds.
Yeah, my partner and I are firm, and we are on the same soapbox here when it comes to the Hall of Fame. It takes about 3 seconds to vote someone. Are you a Hall of Famer or you're not? If you have to think about it, you're not a Hall of Famer.
And I also say, we talk about graded races and all that, I'm not a big believer in that. And now I'm old enough that I remember the races and I remember how they were coming into it. And I know who was who. So I look at them, it takes like 5 seconds.
Yeah.
No, and it's usually no because it's the Hall of Fame. It's like you're supposed to be.
Yes, agreed.
Wow. And Songbird, you know, I said, you should understand something. Songbird is like the middle of the apex curve of the getting in.
Yeah.
She's not a ghost zapper or a spectacular bid. Songbird's like the average horse supposed to get in the Hall of Fame. That's how good you are, in my opinion. The wise Dans. That's who you're supposed to be to get in.
Yes.
And they're not in the Songbird isn't in the 99th percentile of Hall of Fame horses, in my opinion. She's in, like, the 50th percentile of horses.
You did vote Blind Luck?
Yes.
Okay. I did not.
Because I can't vote the other one. I know the other one's getting
in. Sure.
She's getting in.
No way.
A Philly B Horse of the Year? Winning Colors, getting in, winning the Kentucky Derby. And I had her that day.
She cannot be in the Hall of Fame. The one thing the coaching club does have, and we didn't even mention this, and the handicappers report.
Is what?
It's got Mott, Brown, Baffert, Mott again. I mean, there's serious connections here. And these gals are lightly raced. You look at Crystal Ball, Baffert chips in. You look at Paris Lights, aired in 2 straight for Bill Mott. Maybe they are going places, but at least on July 18th.
Didn't Toronto win in her third start?
She won the acorn in her second start. Yeah,
third start.
Yeah.
New world.
Well, it is. It's a new normal. That's for sure. I picked Altaf. Okay, we'll call her.
No.
She's up against it, admittedly, but I picked her. I picked Altaf. I just think there's going to be pacing here, and I just think a lot of these gals will not see out 9 furlongs.
Well, one thing we should
Saratoga
also say to people, since this isn't this is a different show, status and spot. It's like. We're at the starting point, like, we're not going to pick Tonalist Shape.
No, you can't pick her.
We, as handicappers, you know, there's very few hard and fast rules. But Brian just said it. You can't bet Tonalist Shape at 9 to 5 when you're not daylight better than the rest. In a handicapping parlance, when you're trying to have a positive return on investment in the long run. Listen, I've always said this, Brian. No public handicapper has picked more horses run last than me. But I made bets every single day on the WNYT website for 8 years and showed a 300% return on investment.
That's...
And I picked more losers right. than anybody. But I never walked out of this track since I was 16 years old. And somebody said to me, were you 2 for 9 today? No, they say, how'd you do? They don't want to hear 3 to 9.
It only takes one. That's the beauty of the game.
I took down 350.
Yeah.
I always I'll give you the best example of that. I'm 0-9 for my Kentucky Derby selections as a public handicapper for this decade that just ended. And I got the last one right. I liked country.
Only takes one.
And he makes my return on
investment. That's all that
matters. Through the thing. Some people might go, they might have gone 5 for 10 in the Kentucky Derby for the what do they call them, the teens.
Right.
My ROI at 1 for 10 is
it's all that
infinitely
matters.
Better.
Agreed.
And that's, you can't take a tonalist shape. So I'm looking to beat horses. And in this race, it's unlike trying to
We're
beat
on the same page
Decorated
here,
Invader.
Sure.
And it makes the I think it makes the game more fun, I think.
Totally agree.
I mean, winning is the most important thing, but you know, having a $14 horse when the even money horse finishes third, I have to tell you, for me personally, not only getting the cash, I feel good that I didn't take the even
money
chalk.
You didn't take that, too, yes.
Yeah.
If you're late joining us, Dave O'Rourke had an emergency, NAIRA president and CEO, so he could not be with us. We hope everything's okay. I talked to Pat McKenna and Mark Bard back, and they said Dave will be back, make it up to us. I have no reason to doubt that whatsoever. Wow. He's been great. So Anthony stuck around for a few minutes. It's going to bring us to our first break here on Saturdays
is
at the Spa.
Here? Can you see him?
No, Tommy Bellis is not here.
Oh, you did an interview with him?
No, he's going to be on the phone because Tommy, I actually talked to him. We'll get him on here. Tommy
Bellhouse
of West Point Thoroughbred is going to stop in on the phone. That's another thing I should mention, but right before we go to break, it's going to be different this year. We don't necessarily, and Seth has said this as well, we don't know how many people are going to be sitting next to me. This Dave O'Rourke was going to, which I thought was cool that, you know, the biggest guy here is sitting here kicking it off. We don't know. And I'm going to get Tommy Bellhouse on in a second. I talked to him the other day. I said, Tommy, can you come in? He said, I'm not even cleared. Because he didn't even know he was going to be allowed to be here. So it's just such a lot of moving parts here. The content will be as good as always, though. And I know Seth said that in our fearless leader, John Signor, said that right to us at the start. There's no reason to think it won't be, and we know it will be. It's just a matter of who's going to actually be here, who might be on the phone, who might be taped. We'll see how it all shakes out. We've got a lot of Saturdays to figure it out. But Anthony stepping out, I appreciate you sticking around, helping as a little late breaking. When we come back to Saturdays at the Spa, Tommy Bellhouse, West Point Thoroughbred. Stay tuned.
Where's the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you where's the best sports bar in the capital region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the clubhouse racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
I got it. Watch me. I got it. Hey! I got something that makes me want to shout. I got something that tells me what it's all about. I got a move that tells me what to do. If you don't, brothers and sisters, then you won't know what it's all about.
Stone is an outside front. They're coming down to the finish. Kent Smart
Good morning. Welcome back to Saturdays at the Spa. Brian Natto with you. A special thanks to Anthony Mormino, who just took off, sticking around a little bit as Dave O'Rourke, president and CEO of NYRA, had a late emergency. So we hope everything's okay with him. He'll be back on here with us maybe next Saturday, maybe down the road. I said to Anthony, you know, as far as for this program, maybe it's, you know, we get Dave in a week or two when he's more settled in to see how Saratoga has been going in such a different year, just a bizarre year. And it's kind of a good segue to my next guest, a good friend of mine and one of the best guys racing has, and Tommy Bellhouse, the COO of West Point Thoroughbreds. And Tommy, I'm going to bring you in and throw it to you, because I know you are one of the earliest risers on the golf cart here at Saratoga, and I know one of your one of the top gigs for West Point is you kind of coordinating tickets to all the partners you have and stuff. So it's a different year, Tommy. How are things for you this year as we bring in the first weekend of Saratoga?
Thanks for having me on, Brian. And by the way, before we get started, Mormino has made the list by not picking Decorated Invader. So I want that noted.
Yeah, you don't sound shocked, though.
No, you're 100% right. I haven't been sleeping all that great, to be honest with you. And this morning, you know, on a big race day like today, you know, at about 5 a.m., I was tossing and turning. I just jumped up and put some clothes on and went, grabbed a coffee and went by the fence line of Oklahoma. Actually, ironically, I got to see the big horse, Decorated Invader, out for an easy gallop, trying to take a little of the edge off for today. But, you know, it's real different. The challenges of trying to stay ultra positive and be excited for our partners and give them the experience that they've grown accustomed to. Listen, it's a challenge. And if you had to put a gun in my head, I really miss the mornings a lot. You know, being out at the coffee stand with our people at the special time. And, you know, it's hard on everybody. I mean, you know, the Oklahoma track's 2 miles from my house, and we've had horses up there a month. And not being able to go has been a real challenge.
Yeah, and just to bring everybody up to speed, I mean, West Point is the preeminent racing partnership. And, you know, when you get involved with West Point Thoroughbreds, you know, they're going to take you to the pinnacle of the sport. You know, they won a Kentucky Derby a few years ago with Always Dreaming, and multiple Breeders' Cup horses and Grade 1 horses and things like that. And part of the experience of what Terry Finley and Tommy Bellhouse and the rest of the team kind of provide to everyone is being involved in days like this at places like Saratoga. So, you know, Tommy, I talked to you the other day. I said, can you come on the set? And just to show everyone how late breaking it was that yesterday was the first day that owners could come to Saratoga in a very small select group. I said, Tommy, can you come on the set? And he said to me, I don't have access. I didn't know this was going to be a thing. So, Tommy, it was, you know, 2 days ago they said we can have owners. So up to 8 owners, right, which probably stretches you pretty thin, because I know a lot of these horses, Tom, have multiple owners, correct?
Of course. Yeah, it'll be, you know, it's going to be a challenge. You know, that being said, you know, I think we're all really grateful that we're racing. I know what it was like those months that we weren't racing in New York. And so, I mean, listen, I know the disappointment. I hear it in people's voices every day that they can't go out and do the things they want. And the challenges of limited ownership will be hard on the syndicates, especially those of us who have really, really encouraged our partners to come to the races and be part of it as opposed to remotely. But, you know, I try to take a positive look and say, listen, we're racing to Saratoga. Hopefully we have a great summer and a great meet, and everybody stays healthy, and in a perfect world we'll be back here next year, and we'll be back in the golf cart, and we'll be drinking our coffee and telling our lives and telling the story of the year of 2020.
Absolutely. And we front and center today, and one of the reason why you're on the phone here with me today is that you're going to run Decorated Invader in the Hall of Fame. Third race today. It's early because in a weird thing, it's a good thing for you, Tommy. It's early because that means you're a really heavy favorite in the sequence. And We're going to show a few videos, and the first one is kind of the far turn to the wire when he wins the Grade 1 summer. Now, he won up here last year over the the other turf course, the Mellon turf course, but this is on the inner. But here it is in the summer when I think, Tommy, he really announced himself as a serious horse up at Woodbine, winning the Grade 1 summer.
Yeah, this was really the breakthrough that we were hoping for. Christoph has always been extremely, extremely high on this horse. But, you know, Irad Ortiz rode him that day, and we got out in the open. And once he got rolling, it was really, like you said, we stamped. It was a win and you're into the Breeders' Cup. It was Grade 1. It was just that perfect feeling. We went, you know, obviously we were able to go to Canada at that time and be up at Woodbine, and we won the summer 2 out of the last 3 years. We won it with Untamed Domain before we went to the Breeders' Cup, and then we did it with Decorated, and it was just really a phenomenal performance. And, you know, as you see that race, and I think you're going to show the Breeders' Cup, you know, you have a precocious two-year-old that has incredible size and agility, and then we'll talk about how he's transformed into three, and as we know, most horses don't.
Yeah, for sure. And we're going to bring up that Breeders' Cup Juvenile. We'll pick it up on the back stretch. And again, the West Point Silks, you know, the gold and the star. I said to you off the air when we got going here today, Tommy, I said, sorry, but I got to bring up video of this Breeders' Cup. Tough to argue if you weren't best this day. Just a tough trip with the post, with your running style, at least at that time, having to come wide and just kind of coming up a little short.
Yeah, it was a difficult day. The horse did not break great in that race, and he literally was in the back of the pack going into the first turn, and Irad tried to move him up a little bit to get some position, and a horse came over and basically shut us off. And in hindsight, it almost would have been better if we went all the way to dead last and then tried to work out a trip from there. But when we got shut off on that first turn, it just left, you know, left 11 horses to pass, or 12, 13 horses to pass inside of 3/4 of a mile, which was just too much to overcome. Obviously, it was a crushing loss for us. I really think he was that we all had thought he was our best chance to win a Breeders' Cup race, and for Christoph Kamon as well. I mean, I think he's been second 9 times in the Breeders' Cup. And,
yeah.
And, you know, an incredible horseman. And what he's done with this horse is just another notch in his belt and towards the Hall of Fame career.
So we're going to bring up the Pennine Ridge now, Tommy. And going into this race, I thought you had a really nice horse. I wasn't a fan of the running style because, as you know, and as we saw kind of at Santa Anita, when you need to pass them all a lot, it's tough and it doesn't always work out. And then I watched the Pennine Ridge, and when you guys were third on the inside, 2 lengths off the lead, I said, wow, if this horse is going to start running like this, he is heck to pay going forward. Talk about this. Was it the plan to be closer? Because Tommy, they're going a pretty good clip there at Belmont.
Yeah, I think Christoph felt that the horse didn't need to be as far back. He's kind of done that in races on his own. But he has shown some speed in the mornings. And, you know, where we were sitting going into the turn, I loved it. I think Jose Ortiz, I believe, rode Proven Strategies. And I think he angled out a little in the middle of the turn, thinking that we would never go inside
sure.
of him. But Rosario went for the hole. And then when Jose looked to shut the door on him, I mean, you could just see the difference on the video, the difference between the size of our horse and the size of theirs. He just was no way he was going to be able to stop us. And showing that different dimension. I mean, you bring up those closing horses, having a hard time putting together winning streaks. I mean, other than Vignata and maybe a couple others, I mean, you know, the best closers we've ever had, probably, you know, Macho again and
sure.
horses like that. And they just, you know, they just don't put together long winning streaks just because they're, you know, pace dependent or trip dependent. But showing this new dimension, it's exciting. And especially when we look at today's race, I do believe Gufo is going to be scratched.
I was just going to tell you, Tommy. I know you're on the more on the pulse than anyone, but I was going to say I just got a text from a buddy that our friend Wayne, who you know, that Gufo is out. So you know,
yep.
3 to 5 goes to about 1 to 5 now. So I mean, you know, we hope Gufo's all right, and obviously Christoph trains them both.
I believe that they were looking for softer turf for him. And I don't know what their plans are, but you know, ironically, when I talked about Decorated Invader as a 2-year-old, one of the first breezes I saw of him at the Oklahoma when he came up from Eddie Woods was him with this chestnut. He's a Declaration of War, and this chestnut son of Declaration of War was in there as well, and that ended up being Gufo. So you had two greatest stakes winners working together as 2-year-olds, and I believe Gufo had a minor shin or something that set him back a little bit in his 2-year-old season. But, you know, he's had an amazing campaign this year. And you know, I've had the opportunity to see both of Chad Brown's horses races, one at Tampa and then the one in New York. And, you know, he's an up-and-comer.
He's up-and-coming, yeah.
Green in his last start, but, I mean, he's obviously somebody to respect. And, you know, Tommy Bush's horse might be out on the lead.
Sure.
So, I mean, listen, we run at Greatest Stakes in Saratoga. It's very hard to be confident or even overconfident because you know what can happen. But this horse couldn't be doing any better.
Well, that's great to hear. You mentioned 2-year-olds, and I wanted to ask you, Tommy, because you guys are very active at the sales. Between the yearlings and even the 2-year-olds in training sales, West Point is very active in those arenas. What was it like this year? I mean, were you able to get some horses? A lot of sales canceled or were postponed. We're going to see it. Well, we're not going to see it up here in a couple of weeks because they postponed and pushed those sales out to Kentucky. But how did West Point operate, Tommy, in the fact that the horses just really haven't been available as much as in years past? Were you able to get some or were you active?
Yeah, we were actually very active.
Okay.
And I joke, Terry Finley earned his money this year.
Okay.
He really, you know, via David and Gordo, who does a lot of our bloodstock work and our bloodstock team, you know, the OBS March, our calendar every year, I can map out, you know, a year in advance. This is where we'll be. This is where we'll go. And we'll buy anywhere from 15 to 18 2-year-olds in training. Well, obviously, with OBS March kind of blew up. And then instead of having the fitness sale in March, the Keeneland and Santa Anita sales in April, and then OBS April, and then the fitness sale in May, all of those sales went away or postponed or canceled. So that's usually when we buy the majority of our horses and we do the majority of our revenue for the year. So what we were able to do is leverage some of these relationships that we've had over the last 27 years with people like David McCathen and Eddie Woods and Tom McCrocklin and kind of cherry pick, buy a couple here and there and bring them to market for our partners just to see what the response would be. Obviously, the pandemic hit a lot of us here on the East Coast a lot harder earlier than like now in Texas and Florida and California are being hit. So we really just kind of felt our way. And then as we got to the next sale, we bought a few more and then we bought a few more and then we bought a few more. And we've ended up putting together a great class of horses, but it's not the way we've traditionally done it, Brian.
Okay. Yeah, I figured it. And I'm sure, you know, that's across the board, Tommy, just with the, you know, the new normal here of 2020. You gave me a couple of horses when we spoke the other day that you're excited to run about, a Ghost Zapper Colt, Flying with Angels, and a Tapiture Gelding, Instinctive Rhythm. Talk a little bit about both of them, because when I looked them up on Equibase, obviously they're going to be first-time starters. Who's training them too, Tommy? Because that was not listed either. So a couple to look forward to at the meeting, Flying with Angels and Instinctive Rhythm.
Yeah, Instinctive Rhythm is a 3-year-old Tapiture with George Weaver. He was a horse that last summer we were hoping he was the next Pacoma last year for George. And he had a setback, but he's been coming along, and George has had him down in Florida, and you know we're ready to roll with him. Hopefully, run him in the next week, if, assuming you know things go according to plan. And you know we're real excited about him. And the other horse that you mentioned, the Ghost Zapper that we bought as a yearling, Flying with Angels, really cool horse. He was named by one of our partners, Sal Spadelli. And Sal loved the name. He always thought of his dad. And that horse worked this morning at 8:45 on the main from the gate with Joel Rosario up. And Miguel Clement called me after. He was happy with it. So I'd like to think we're, you know, maybe that there's a race, 6 furlong maiden special. I think it's August 2nd, it's August something, that I think we'd be a player in if everything goes well.
Okay, good. And then before I let you go, I know you were excited. Martinez tomorrow for a new trainer for you guys that people are quite familiar with.
Yeah, real greenhorn.
Shug McGahee for Martinez. How'd that come about, Tommy?
Yeah, that is really, really exciting for West Point and our partners, for all of us. You know, a kid growing up on Long Island and being a huge fan of the Black and Sherry, of the Phipps stable, you know, Mr. Farish of Lane's End Farm, we've been doing some work with them, and we are partners with Lane's End Woodford Racing on this horse, and Shug trains for them, and he was open to taking the horse and taking a few from West Point. So it's really an exciting time to be affiliated with Shug McGahee, Hall of Fame trainer and Hall of Fame person. And you know, sometimes I think I'm more excited than anybody. And you know, Joe Migliore and I, like, every time we talk about it, it's like, Shug McGahee trains for us. This is just the greatest. So Martinez is going to debut tomorrow. He drew the rail. I think Shug said, you know, expect him to come running late. And I think he's only going to get better. He's a New York bred that we tried to get in an open race earlier. But, you know, we should be good to get going tomorrow and maybe see him again at the end of the meet.
All right. Sounds good. Tommy, just quickly before I let you go, just, you know, if people want to get involved, just give a quick how they can get in touch. Tommy's one of the most personable, but one of the, you know, guys that's always out there and easy to talk to and engaging. So if people are looking to get involved with West Point Thoroughbreds.
Well, being we're not in front of the post bar, yeah, or the big screen under the clubhouse, I'd ask people to go to our website, www.westpointandthenTheLettersTB.com. It's very detailed, and don't hesitate. All of our contact information is there. We'd love to talk racing with people interested in getting in the game and learning more. So, you know, I can't thank them enough. Anybody, love to talk to you, and don't hesitate to reach out.
All right. Tommy Bellhouse, West Point Thoroughbreds, decorated invader today in the third race, the Hall of Fame. Just looking to add to a resume that's starting to get pretty good. So, Tommy, thank you, as always. It's always great to talk to you, and best of luck later today and throughout the meet, too.
Thanks so much, Brian. I really appreciate it, and I really hope we get to see each other soon.
Sounds good, Tommy. Be good. Best of luck. Tommy Bellhouse, West Point Thoroughbreds, the COO of West Point Thoroughbreds, and again, decorated invader early on the card today, 218. A heavy favorite that got even heavier because Gouffo, stablemate, Christophe Clement trained, different owners, of course, is going to come out of that race, and he was definitely the main danger. So we wish Tommy, Terry Finley, and all the group at West Point Thoroughbreds the best of luck. It will bring us to another break here on Saturdays at the Spa. When we come back, excited to have Peter Thomas for Natal joining me to talk a little gambling, which is really what it's all about up here at Saratoga. We're going to talk pick five today, late pick five, ticket construction, things like that. Stay tuned. Peter Thomas for Natal when we come back.
No matter where in the world you are, the excitement of wagering on horse racing is just a click away. You'll get live streaming, past performances, race replays, our virtual tote board, analysis and selections from professional handicappers, a simple, safe, and secure wagering platform, and best of all, you get track prices. CapitalOTBBet.com. Bet any place, anytime at CapitalOTBBet.com. And be sure to download our new mobile app from the iTunes Store or Google Play. In a recent study of some of the top online wagering sites, Capital OTB won big in total player rewards, far surpassing some of the best-known wagering sites in America. While other rewards programs simply offer you points redeemable for gift cards, Capital OTB's rebates are paid to you in actual cash. Plus, Capital OTB gives you full and immediate access to your money. So if all you're getting now are points and gift cards, join Capital OTB Player Rewards today and get cash back. Visit CapitalOTBBet.com and sign up today.
Here in upstate New York, no one provides bettors with more wagering options than Capital OTB. Our network of ranch and easy bet locations stretches from the mid-Hudson Valley all the way to the Canadian border and west to central New York. So whether you need to place a bet, fund your Capital Bets account, or watch the next big race, all the action is just around the corner. A full list of our branch and easy bet locations can be found online at CapitalOTB.com. Capital OTB, the better and most convenient choice for wagering in upstate New York.
Good morning. Welcome back to Saturdays at the Spa. Brian Natto with you. A big thanks to a good friend of mine and one of the good guys I mentioned that earlier in racing, Tommy Bellhouse of West Point Thoroughbreds. We always love to hear from Tommy and those guys and Terry Finley as well. We wish them all the best of luck with Decorated Invader in the Hall of Fame Stakes today. And as I mentioned, Tommy is one of the most accessible guys around. I know it's a little different this year, but look him up if you know, looking to get involved or at that kind of level. They will put you in some good spots. There's no doubt about that. I will bring in another one of the good guys in racing, a one of the great racing characters as well. My good friend, we go back many, many years. Peter Thomas Fornatale joins us on Saturdays at the Spa. PTF, how goes it up here in a weird summer in Saratoga?
Things are fantastic. You say many years. We might be able to say a couple of decades now, Brian. And with me, you, and Tom Bellhouse on here, it's almost like a little paddock bar reunion today.
That is to say the least. Yes, we're another guy that's very accessible around different sort of places in Saratoga. Pete, before we get going into the nuts and bolts of this card, I definitely want you to talk a little bit about what you're doing in the players, the podcast with Jonathan Kitchen, that you guys have really, you've really carved yourself out quite a niche in this day and age of doing what you guys do, a very innovative, cutting edge kind of a lot of fun that you can have in that kind of the podcast that you guys are doing. Talk a little bit about what's going on there, how people can hear about it or hear it, and what you're doing.
Well, thank you for that. Those very kind words about what we're trying to accomplish over at In the Money Media. Basically, we are a podcast network. It grew out of our flagship show, the In the Money Players podcast, which, if you count its previous incarnation over at Daily Racing Form, is the longest continuously running horse racing podcast. I was counting the other day, and I think I got up to 25 horse racing podcasts now.
Wow.
But Matt Bernier and I started the first one back in November of 14, and it has chugged along in its various incarnations. And now, built around that show, very proud to have Matt Bernier back in the fold with his show. JK, who you mentioned, has his wildly popular, one-of-a-kind horse racing talk show, JK Plus One. Naomi Tucker has Talk Racing to Me, which is a little more industry-focused, but also plenty of great content for horse players in there as well. We've got Spencer Lugenbuehl, late of the NYRA staff, who is doing a nuts and bolts handicapping show called Red Board Rewind, and super excited to announce our latest addition to the team. Just this week, we made a deal to become the distributor of Nick Luck's daily podcast.
Right.
So the idea is you can subscribe to our master feed over on iTunes, In the Money Media, and you can get all of those shows in one place, or you can cherry pick and subscribe to the individual feed. And you can check it all out over at InTheMoneyPodcast.com, where we also have a blog with lots of additional handicapping information, looks at, deep looks at certain pick sequences and a news feed and other features that we think horse players will really enjoy. So you can really see everything going on over at InTheMoneyPodcast.com.
Yeah, and it's great, too, because for a long time, you've kind of been on the cutting edge of a lot of the wagering aspect of this sport and almost like on the other side of it, taking maybe a little different approach to how strictly just, you know, the win play show betting at the window kind of thing. And that's why I really wanted to have you on here, because maybe the casual handicapper and gambler might, you know, we're going to talk about this late pick five today. And maybe the casual player dopes it out and he says, okay, I like the 2-3 in the first leg, the 7-9 in the second leg. And he puts the ticket together and it's $48 or it's $96, puts it in at the window. We call it the caveman ticket. And you and I have collaborated on a lot of plays over the past. And you were one of the first guys to kind of get me thinking about what we're going to talk about here. Before we get to the actual selections and talking racing, we're going to go over like the ABC concept of putting a ticket together and just kind of give an intro to the folks at home that maybe aren't familiar with that kind of play, how it really is beneficial to the handicapper to take a little different view, a little different approach to the pick five to definitely, Pete, get a lot more bang out of your buck for a horizontal sequence like that.
That's the way I see it for sure, Brian. And you're right. A lot of these conversations that we had originated out of a very successful pick five syndicate that you had several years ago, where I remember at the end of the summer, several of your members having enough money to buy used cars, if not new cars. So it is something that I've enjoyed bandying back and forth with you over the years. And there's no judgment about those who just want to go about a pick five and put in a quote-unquote caveman ticket where all the horses are rated the same in the tickets that go in. There's a simplicity to that if you're just looking for action. You know, that's fine. But the more serious you get about this game and about trying to become a successful horse player and push your overall ledger into the black or closer to the black, the wagering side of the equation becomes much more important. Now, you gave me credit for being cutting edge. Not really true. I've been, most of the stuff I'm doing, heavily influenced by the work of people like Barry Meadow, whose great book, The Money Secret, that the racetrack outlines this stuff, and also a man I consider a friend and mentor, Stephen Chris, and his book, Exotic Betting, lays a lot of this stuff out in much more detail. But the idea is, instead of writing one big ticket where all the horses are weighted equally, that you can write a series of tickets that more accurately reflect your opinion. Some horses, the basic idea is dividing horses into just two categories of main ticket and backup. And then you write the ticket, or there's software from the likes of Daily Racing Form called Ticketmaker that's super easy to use, drfticketmaker.com, where you can access it right within Formulator. That all you do with that software is you tell it main ticket or backup, and then it constructs the tickets for you. And it gives you the opportunity, essentially, to be wrong with your main opinion and get one or even two backup opinions to go ahead and win in a sequence, and it keeps your ticket alive, and it gives you a way to really express your opinion on the horses you like best, and have that horse that you really like unlock all kinds of possibilities when it comes to these tickets. And the main idea, Mike Maloney in his book, Betting with an Edge, put it best of all, I think, which is the tickets that you play should be as accurate a reflection of your exact opinion as possible. And I believe that this method of ticket construction allows you to achieve that in a much more elegant way than simply playing one ticket with all the runners weighted equally.
And we just put it up on the screen, the first one you sent over. And so what you have to do is you have to grade out the horses. And you have to be honest with yourself, too, because you're going to find if you're too, you know, if you get a little too touchy with your finger, you're gonna see that it's just gonna blow up your ticket. So you really do have to be honest with yourself and grade these horses accordingly. And as we show here, Pete's graphic, you've got A, B. He didn't delve into the C's, and him and I have had some good discussions on the C's too, because the one thing where I do disagree with Steve Christ, and Steve is kind of the architect of this, is that it kind of weighs the C's as the same as your A's and your B's. And I think, to me, C's are the kind of once a week kind of winners. And so I don't think they should be weighed kind of equally as a ticket. But as you see here, Pete has got his A's and B's. Okay, he's got them graded out. And then when you look below on the graphic, now there's the actual tickets. So you see the top line, his A ticket is $24 for a dollar bet. And that's significant too, because as Pete said, you want to weigh your opinions accordingly. And when you have an A ticket, obviously they are your best opinions. And it would have only cost $12. So if Pete hits it out of the park today, and he has a great day, he should be rewarded for that. That's why he punched that ticket twice, okay, for 50 cents twice to now get it to $24. Whereas you look below, A's with one B, A's with two B's, those are just 50-cent plays because they're a little more expensive and they're also a little less likely to hit based on his feel for the horses. So talk, Pete, how that works out, and then as well as the tickets they're seeing now, A's with 1B, A's with 2B, and that goes in, that the system puts it all out there for you, and then you just simply got to punch those tickets in.
When you go ahead and grade the horses into A's, B's, and C's, it will very often give you a feel, like more of a, for lack of a better word, holistic feel for the sequence. And some will lay out really well, and some will lay out poorly. And you'll see, you're just when you get super spready and inclusive, that might be a day where you say, you know what, this isn't a day to play the pick five. When you're looking at the whole sequence like this, that those type of things can become clear. And today, for me, is a day I really like this pick five, because there's three races, the 7th, 9th, and 11th, where I'm really happy getting dialed down into it. You talked about the all A's, the A's with one B, the A's with two B's. There are many, many days where that, and you were the one who pointed this out to me at first, Brian, that there are many days, especially where that A's with two B's becomes very expensive. And when I look at my A's with two B's, and if I see a line in there that's just blowing up the ticket cost, and I know, hey, something's wrong here. Very often what I'll do in that situation is just, it's as simple, you see that little box on the screen before, you just unclick that box and it takes those tickets out and reallocates your budget into the other tickets. Because when I look at the way those tickets lay out, I don't want A's with two B's, my theoretically the weakest of the opinions I have, I don't want that costing dramatically more than what I have for my all A entry. And I think critically you did point out something that I always like, if possible, to have that all A's line for more than the minimum amount. I want to have it at least 2x, if not 5x or 10x, depending on how the sequence shakes out. So there's all these subtle ways that using this methodology can help put you in touch with your own opinion and also write these tickets that more accurately reflect that.
Yeah, and I putting together the ticket yesterday myself, and you're right, because, you know, folks, just try this, fool around with it, and you're going to plug numbers in, and you'll see that A to B line can really blow up quickly. So you have to kind of, again, you have to be diligent in your rankings. Otherwise, you're going to find yourself spending a lot. Let's talk actual races, Pete. You mentioned you've got a couple strong opinions. We've got a few minutes left. What we saw how you're going to attack this sequence. Who exactly are you leaning on? And I think that's key too. I will throw it back to you to talk about that, because you, in a pick five, especially in a pick six, you have to have some leans. There's no doubt about it, or you're just going to blow up your bankroll.
I thought the first leg had a horse who was very reasonable to single. I'm not going to end up stone cold singling Yaupon. I'm going to go back and play some small backups on a second ticket. I don't know if you have that graphic handy or not. No worries if you don't.
Yeah, Brian, can we get the second ticket up as well, Pete's talking?
You don't necessarily just have to do this exercise one time. You can allocate your money. One cool thing about ticket maker is you put in your budget exactly. And so you can do one budget. It's like your main play that's 200, and then you can go back and do a little backup one where the budget is 50, and it can help you. But Yaupon is one who I just think looks like a reasonable single because of the potential pay tag.
Yes.
And I also just love Steve Asmussen's second time out. That's one of those angles. Just over the years up here at Saratoga and even around the country has paid off. in race number 8. Oh, one other point I'll make. I also love, maybe this is a little degenerate of me, I don't know if this really plays out from an expected value point of view, but I always love singling in the first leg.
Because,
you know what, you bust, whatever, come back and play the pick 4. Race number 8 today, I thought looked like a spread race. That's the kind of race where I want to use as many horses as possible. But then I have a strong opinion again in race number 9. I really feel like it's down to the two obvious ones in number 6, Set Piece, and number 7, Digital Age. So my approach here in the main ticket, I'm playing them equally. And then I'm going to go back for a series of press tickets where I'm just singling Set Piece. Because even when you have two horses as age, it doesn't mean you like them exactly the same. And in that case, I want to run more money through the one that I like the best. And that is number 6, Set Piece, in this spot. I mean, can't really tell you much. You can't see right there in the form. Looked a very freakish first time out, I thought, closing despite a slow pace. Just looks to be being brought along properly. Rosario Shitsu. Looks like all systems go. At the same time, Digital Age, one I've always liked, and I don't want him knocking me out of things. I didn't have a ton of clarity in the CCAO. This was a race where I wanted to have a few horses. But then again, in the nightcap, it just looked very clear to me. I thought that the 7 Papa Luke and the 4 Midnight Whiskey both looked extremely live. Papa Luke with another automatic trip handicapping angle for me, making a move into a hot pace last time, even with that inefficient run, fits well on the final numbers. Midnight Whiskey not only has a great name, but also I thought maybe could be a valid wire-to-wire threat. And then those were my two main opinions. The more I looked at this race, the more I did not want to lose to the 2 American Piper, and I elected to put that one in at the B level. Very impressive-looking work tab down at Laurel for a trainer I know pretty much literally nothing about, but that booking of Irad Ortiz with one of the best work tab just seemed too eye-catching to ignore, so I was going to throw that one in as a B. But because I can get skinny in 3 of the 5 races, this is a spot where I'm super happy to take a shot in this late pick 5 today at Saratoga.
You brought up something that I did not prompt you to do, but that the fan club forms behind me because I love Pete singling a favorite in the opening leg because, as you well know, but I want you to talk about this in a second. It sounds silly because it's so obvious, but all these legs are exactly the same, and that means they're the same exact importance. Yet if Yapan was in race 11, 80% of the people might single this horse. But the fact it's in leg 1, people have the mental block that they have that, oh, I don't want to be out after one race. I'm going to use 4 horses here. It's so silly, but it's a statement of fact that people do not like to single in the opening leg of a horizontal sequence because they don't want to be out after one leg. And Pete, I think you can get so much value on a heavy favorite. That would be if this was in the middle or certainly at the end. A horse like, now Yapan's not going to be 3-5, but let's say there was a 3, let's say Decorated Invader was in this first race. In the opening leg, he might be even money. If he was in the last leg, he would be 1-5, but people do not want a single. It's a mental block. Pete, I think it's the smartest move you can make in a sequence like this.
I think you're right, especially at a festival-type meeting like Saratoga. Not that we have the money of the people out in the backyard, but there's still a lot of people playing who want to play because it's Saratoga. And I do think there's this inclination to want to stay alive and put too many horses early and maybe not enough horses late. And I think there's probably a bit more optimal strategy in doing just the opposite. Now, day in, day out in racing, when there's a lot of computer money, there's a lot of computer money every day. But some of that edge might go away. But I think on big days, on days like Saturdays at Saratoga, there is a little bit of equity doing it that way. And again, it's almost not it's no big deal because you can always play back the other picks. We used to talk about it back in the day when we did the Ciro seminars with Harvey Pack over there. And he would talk about, okay, you missed this one. You come back to the pick 4. If not, back in the pick 3. Then the double, then try a win bet. If it all goes wrong, you wait online for dinner with him at McDonald's. That was a regular Harvey comment. And there's some real truth to it. If you're a serious horse player, there's always another opportunity down the line. don't be afraid to get skinny wherever that's your opinion. These pick bets become sucker bets when you're too inclusive and you play them afraid to lose. Where you can really make them work for you is where you can drill down into your strongest opinions, write efficient tickets, and try to catch something. And they're not easy. There's always going to be a much lower strike rate anytime there's more mathematical possibilities in the sequence. And you have to accept that as part of the cost of doing business. I had a year up here with the pick six where I can't even tell you how many times I hit five, and it gets just ridiculously frustrating, but it doesn't mean I was doing anything wrong. There's a lot of variance, and the longer the pick bet, the more you have to just be accepting of that and just continue to grind and do the work and write the best tickets you can. And at the end of the day, you'll hopefully come out ahead.
Yeah, I mean, it only takes one is the adage, but no sport is it more front and center than this one. Before I let you go, Pete, and we know about In the Money podcast, any books in the works or what? Pete and his late father collaborated on a lot, and then of course, Pete, you've written a lot of different books as well. Anything in the hopper? I know you're all over the place too. Wrestling, beers, obviously racing, Woodstock, Stones with your dad, I believe too.
Oh, yeah. My dad and I worked on a couple of music books I'm super proud of, one about the Rolling Stones and one about Woodstock called Back to the Garden. I've written a bunch of racing books. We talked about Harvey Pack before, collaborated with him on his memoir, also worked with Mike Maloney on Betting with an Edge. The fact is, the best place to get these books at this point is to reach out to me directly. You can find me on Twitter at Looms Boldly. You can contact me. There's a specific book tab over at InTheMoneyPodcast.com. If you're interested in any of my work, whether it's cocktails or rock and roll or horse racing, find me there. I have a new book project in the works. It's very early days. It might be distributed in a fun, non-traditional way where you get like a chapter at a time through like a Substack or something. I'm still working on all the particulars, but it's going to be called, with heavy irony, Easy Game, and it's going to be interviews with successful / professional horse bettors. And it's going to be the kind of thing where all I have to do is turn on the tape recorder, really. You can't help but learn something hearing people like Mike Maloney, Tommy Mathis, Paul Matisse, Jared Skiba, you name them. You can't help but learn something when they talk. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Stay tuned. That one's not available yet for pre-order. But if you follow me on Twitter, at Looms Boldly, and check out InTheMoneyPodcast.com, there'll be plenty of information as we draw nearer to the time.
I like it. And, yeah, Pete's got some very informative books. The Successful, what was it, Successful Handicappers. That's a great book that you wrote as well. Peter Thomas Fornatal, again, In the Money podcast, with Jonathan Kitchen as well. And a lot of other people that, as we found out now. PTF, appreciate it. You're here on the, well, not the grounds, but you are in Saratoga. I will expect we will cross paths very soon. Thank you so much. Good luck today as well.
Cheers, my friend. Looking forward to a late night whiskey drinking, Dylan listening, horse race talking session.
Spinning records on your dad's old 45s. Pete, thanks. We'll talk soon.
Cheers, my man.
All right, Peter Thomas Fornatal wrapping it up here on the first Saturdays at the Spa. Again, we had Tommy Bellhouse on of West Point Thoroughbreds, front and center with Decorated Invader in the Hall of Fame later today. Race 3 early on the card, so take note of that. Real serious 3-year-old turfer for the good guys at West Point. Dave O'Rourke was a late scratch. We hope all's well with him. He'll be back with us in the near future. No concerns there. And again, just to Naira in general, but certainly Dave at the top of the list. We appreciate just the fact that I'm here, that Anthony Mormino was over here with me earlier, that OTB, that we're on site again. And basically, as I said to Anthony, a business as usual. Not a lot's changed. So opening Saturday at Saratoga, it's different. It's weird. It's not normal. But load up those Capital OTB accounts because they are still racing here. And at the end of the day, that's all we really can ask for in this environment. A great Saturday card. Big pools. I'll plug Seth Merrill one more time. He's going to be across the street here at the Horseshoe for the live bankroll. That's something we're going to be doing throughout the meet, us at OTB. I will be at Saratoga National Thank you, Brian, for putting it up over there at the Horseshoe Bar and Grill. The bankroll with Seth, Sully at Bailey's, I believe, and we've got a couple others Saturdays and Sundays throughout the meet. Look at this. There we go. The $500 bankroll from Bailey's is August 29th. So, as always, we're bringing you a lot of different promotions through what is the preeminent meet in the country, not even summer meet, in the whole country. So, as always, amp up the accounts and fire on what's a great Saturday, opening Saturday at Saratoga. Brian Natto signing off today. I will see you back here on Thursday. Handicappers Report, me and Anthony, and then Saturday, every Saturday, 10 o'clock, Saturday's at the spot. Thanks so much. Best of luck today at Saratoga.
You've been watching Saturdays at the Spa with Brian Natto. Saturdays at the Spa has been brought to you by CapitalOTBBet.com, New York's premier wagering site. CapitalOTBBet.com. Sign up today. The new Capital mobile app. Wager anywhere, anytime. Download it free from the iTunes Store or Google Play.